Hello, and welcome to my podcast. This is an audio version of my videos, available to make listening to my stuff in the background easier than YouTube makes it. But since my videos are primarily made for YouTube, there may be occasional references to visual materials. If you'd like this podcast ad-free, you can join us on Patreon at patreon.com/vicerhino. Please enjoy. Hello, and welcome to my channel. Vice Rhino here. Today I've got a bit of a shorter video, and it's titled, Who Are You to Judge God? Well, just to answer the title, I'm a guy with a moral compass. If you want to tell me that God is the source of morality, you have to explain to me how we can even make that determination. How do you determine if an action of God's is moral if God himself is the source of morality? And how is it possible for us to even consider an action of God's to be immoral if God really is the source of morality? Shouldn't our morals just automatically line up with his if he really is the source? Anyway, get on with it.
We live in this crazy, demonic, insane day where people judge God.
Why is it crazy, demonic, and insane to hold God to the same standards that he holds us to? If any one human behaved the way God is supposed to have behaved in the Bible, they would be locked up and with good reason. So if we wouldn't tolerate a person behaving that way, why should we tolerate a God? Because he's stronger? So morality is just about who has the ability to force their preferences onto someone else then? That sounds like a really bad idea.
It's the craziest thing!
Right? So crazy that I would consider someone who has a history of committing genocide to be immoral. Why would I ever think that?
All the time! Well, I don't think that should be in the Bible. I don't think they should say that. I don't think God should do that.
On the contrary, I'm glad stuff like that is in the Bible, because then it makes it more obvious that this God guy, who is often presented as being someone nice who loves you and wants what is best for you, is actually a monster who is known for killing people just for looking at him the wrong way. The right way is to look at his ass, by the way. Moses survived that one, because we know that no man can look upon God and live. Except, of course, when they do, like when Jacob explicitly said, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered."
I think we should edit that. I think that's a mistake.
There are demonstrable mistakes in the Bible, sure, but again, I'm happy to leave them in. They provide ample ammunition for people like me to point out that the Bible shows every sign of not being divinely inspired.
Okay, here's my question. Who the frick are you?
As I said in the intro, I'm just a guy with a moral compass. When I was a Christian, I sat down and read the Bible with the intention of strengthening my relationship with God. But through reading the Bible, I saw that God is a cruel, vindictive, hateful monster. And I made this determination with what I would have told you at the time was my morality that I got from God. So I used the tools that he gave me to determine that he doesn't deserve worship from me. Maybe if he wanted me to love him, he should have not written morality on my heart so well. Or, you know, maybe he could have behaved morally. Unthinkable, I know, asking God not to murder millions of people, but that would have been helpful.
I didn't cuss. I cussed in my heart, but I did not cuss.
I touched on this in an earlier video, but yeah, you did. It's not the sound that your mouth makes, it's the intention behind the sound that carries the importance. You clearly meant your frick to be taken as fuck. Since the Bible never prohibits the use of the word fuck, but rather prohibits bad or foul language as a category, then it stands to reason that the Bible is not talking about the exact sounds that come out of your mouth when you swear, but rather the intentions behind the sound and how people are supposed to receive it. In other words, your use of the word frick there was just as bad as saying fuck, because you intended the same meaning as you freely admitted. So stop being a fucking twizpipe and just say what you mean. Now, to be fair, in the Bible verses that I showed, I did have to do some translation hopping to get to the versions of these verses that most clearly prohibit swearing, and even then it's kinda debatable. But also, to be fair, I figured out which versions to hop to by grabbing the same ones quoted by the fundamentalist Christian organization Focus on the Family. Now, since this is a shorter video, we have room for a brief tangent to this website. They talk about why swearing is always wrong and ask several questions about the use of the word fuck that I would like to answer just for shits and giggles. So, question 1. What do people really mean when they use the F word? Well, that depends on the situation. Sometimes it can mean have sex, sometimes it can mean ouch, sometimes it can be an insulting noun, sometimes it can be a non-insulting noun, sometimes it can be an exclamation of surprise. Really, it's one of the most versatile words in the English language, with shit being a close second. Question 2. What are they trying to communicate? It depends entirely on the context. See my answer to question 1. Question 3. How does it feel when someone says it to you? Well, it depends on who is saying it and why. If it's being said by my wife and it is said as part of an invitation, then it can feel pretty good. If it's a friend and it's said in jest, it can be amusing. If it's someone I don't like and who doesn't like me and is followed by the word off or you, then it may not feel so good. If it's in a delightful video of a man with a ukulele in a clothing store singing about how much he doesn't care, it can be hilarious. Question 4. Is there any way the F word can build others up? Yes. If someone does something amazing and you say, "That was fucking amazing," I would consider that to be building them up. Does it ever benefit those that hear it? Quite often. Not only can it be hilarious, with humor being physiologically and psychologically good for you, it can cause excitement, anticipation, arousal, it increases the pain threshold in those that say it, and more. But now, after all these nuanced and well-thought-out answers to these questions, let's see how the organization who, if you pronounce the acronym for their name, sounds like you're saying the F-word awkwardly, answers these questions. Of course not! Profanity is always negative and hurtful. Well, I guess we shouldn't expect a fundamentalist organization to be aware of the scientific research that shows that swearing is actually quite beneficial, so that's not really surprising.
Like, who are you? I mean, it's crazy, right? Like, right now on Facebook, there's some guy like, "I disagree. We don't care."
Okay, you don't care that people disagree and have good reasons for disagreeing, and you think that it's crazy that anybody could even think of disagreeing with you. So you're basically just straight up admitting that you don't care whether or not the thing you believe is true, or whether you have good reason for believing it to be true. You just want to believe what you want to believe. Which is fine, I guess, if you weren't also teaching your congregation to have the same attitude. Sorry, but I'd much rather have true beliefs than false beliefs, which means I do care about whether or not my belief makes sense. And if someone disagrees, I want to know that they disagree, and I want to know why, just in case they have good reasons for disagreeing, so that I can then update my worldview if needed.
We don't care! The nations were not waiting for you to be born!
I don't think anyone has ever argued that God is immoral because the nations were waiting for them to be born. But more important than the nations, according to your worldview, the all-powerful creator of everything himself personally decided to handcraft me. So who cares what the nations were waiting for? God put me here to question his morality. Unless, of course, you don't actually believe that God decided to specifically make me, knowing all of my actions that would result from his making me.
You know, prophecies were not anticipating your coming for thousands of years.
Well, then they must be some pretty garbage prophecies if they couldn't even predict little old me.
And in 2,000 years, we won't be singing songs to you.
I'm unsure of the relevance here. Is it not possible to be correct about something unless you at some point in your life develop enough of a cult following that people will be singing your praises for thousands of years to come? But also, people have been singing songs of praise for Krishna for about 4,000 years now. Does that mean Krishna is more correct than Jesus? Either your reasoning here is garbage, or Krishna wins. Which would you prefer?
You know why? You're not that big of a deal!
What I'm getting from this is that if you belittle someone enough, then their opinion doesn't matter, therefore they are wrong and you are right. This is a terrible message to be sending to your congregation. The message is worse and more harmful than the worst swear words you could have used earlier. But I don't actually expect that anyone from that congregation would have made it past all the earlier fucks in this video, because a bad sound made with good intentions is worse to them than a bad message with bad intentions. And they're all sitting there, laughing as if this guy is a top-quality stand-up comedian. It's actually really sad.
And you don't know what you're talking about. Or do you think I'm stupid? No, I know you're stupid. I'm just pointing it out. That's part of my ministry.
Lest you think I was being hyperbolic when I said he was belittling people, he decided to just come out and be as explicit as he possibly could with that point.
And they'll know we are Christians by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Ha 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 ha. It's so funny when a preacher insults the intelligence of anyone who has the audacity to question what they hear from a preacher instead of just accepting it as incontrovertibly true.
Because here's the big idea. We take ourselves so seriously. We take God so lightly.
I actively try not to take myself seriously. And questioning the morality of God is not taking him lightly, it is taking him seriously. Putting thought into something rather than just believing what you're told about it is a sign of taking that thing seriously. Part of putting thought into things is questioning what you believe about those things. Just believing that God must be perfect because the book says so, while ignoring all the other parts of the book where he is obviously not perfect, is taking it lightly. I have a lot more respect for the people who get mired in the philosophical argumentation about God and his morality than I do for your dismissive ass. At least they are taking it seriously.
And there's people just judging God all the time. Well, I don't think anybody should go to hell.
No, I don't. It makes no sense to have an infinite punishment for finite crimes. And I don't think that argument makes sense about how a crime against an infinite being is definitionally an infinite crime. If anything, it makes the crime smaller. Our lives are so tiny and pitiful by comparison that the worst we can possibly do won't be enough to even warrant such a being's notice. If anything, a finite crime done against a finite being is much, much worse, because then you are doing harm to a much more significant part of those finite beings' existence.
Why not? You have a lock on the door of your house. You're a hypocrite. You don't let everybody in.
I didn't say everyone should be allowed into heaven now, did I? And even if I did, these two scenarios are not even comparable. I have a lock on the door to my house because I am a finite being with limited capabilities that cannot guarantee that I will be able to stop an intruder from doing harm to my family or my stuff. Are you suggesting that God is weak enough that I could somehow wreck his home if he let me in? And of course, this ignores the fact that God just doesn't care about the character of the people that he does let in. He just lets people in as long as they believed in him. Mass murderer who's a Christian? Go live in God's house. Good person who volunteers for charity, gives money to the poor, and tries to live life making as many other people more happy and comfortable as they are able, but is an atheist? Eternal hellfire! The system just doesn't make sense.
I mean, it's just common sense.
No, it's not just common sense. Common sense would be more to have a punishment reward system that fits the behavior of the people being punished and rewarded, not based on an arbitrary faith declaration.
We don't judge God, we're judged by God.
Yeah, and we're judged by God's double standard. We have to behave much better than he ever did, or else we get eternally tortured. But God is just and merciful, right?
None of us are going to die, stand before God. He's going to say, okay, there's a throne, please sit in it, and then render your verdicts.
No, we're just going to die, and that'll be the end of it. Just wait, one day you'll see, or rather, you won't see, because you'll be dead, and that'll be the end of it. And that's it for this one. Told you it'd be a short one today. Today's comment of the day comes to us from Common Sense, who I actually refuse to believe even exists. They say, apologist, I have absolute proof of Christianity and God. Proof, let me tell you a story. Right? So often with these apologetics, it starts with a story that totally, really happened exactly the way I'm retelling it. And they kinda have to do that, because the thing in the story that is supposedly convincing is not actually convincing, so you need to tell a story of it being convincing in order to convince people that are already convinced that it is, in fact, convincing. Thanks for watching. Thank you to this week's PayPal heroes, Isaac, Wax Hands Creations, Mikkel, Jennifer, Mark, Stephen, Charles, SaskWebDesigns.com, Charles again, Johan, and James. Special thanks as always to my patrons, Mark McManus, Mark Hetchum, What Jesus, and all the rest, who are the amazing fucks who keep my channel fucking. If you'd like to prove that swearing can be a good thing, you can join us on Patreon for as little as $1 per week over at patreon.com/vicerhino. If you feel so inclined, you can also support the channel through direct donation or my Amazon wishlist, which are linked in the description. If you'd like to listen to my videos in podcast form, the link for that is also in the description, as well as links to my social media accounts and my P.O. Box address. See you next time!
Well, it was a pleasure edging with you, Matt.
Thank you. I enjoyed edging with you too, Vice.